Thanks for joining us for Code Chat. My name is Jeremy Foster. You can find me online at codefoster.com or on Twitter at codefoster. And I'm joined for today's episode of Code Chat by Arasu. Arasu, how are you doing today?
Doing good. How are you?
I'm doing good as well. So you work at Microsoft, right?
Yes.
Great. Can you tell us about like how long you've been working at Microsoft and what you do here?
Yeah. I've been with Microsoft for about 16 years.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and most of my career, I was a test developer.
Okay.
Recently, I moved on to a new role to look into data.
Oh,
so
great.
I'm a principal data science lead with Windows membership team.
Great.
Part of my role, we look into the massive amount of data that we are getting from customers, Microsoft customers,
yeah.
and their interaction with our support team. We would like to we analyze those data and make recommendations on those.
Is it a massive enough amount of data to be called big data?
It's almost big data, you can
almost
say that.
Big data.
Yeah.
That should be a new term, almost big
almost
data.
Almost big data.
Pretty big data.
Yeah, pretty big data.
That's great. Now, yeah. you've been working on an app, and in fact, your app is live now, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Can you tell us a bit about it?
Yeah, sure. I'm a volunteer teacher for my son's class. For last couple of years, I'm coaching them to prepare for them for math competitions. When I was doing that, I realized that I don't have a single place to start from.
Mm-hmm.
So my ramp up was a little bit hard.
Mm-hmm.
And there are a lot of paperwork involving in to keep track of where they are. What is that I need to focus on when I'm meeting them next Saturday,
yeah.
and so on. So I was thinking, why can't we use a Surface as a platform both to teach and also for them to do their homework and so on. So we prototyped a small app called Learning Social.
Learning Social?
Learning
okay.
Social. And all that we did is we published some questions and we asked our class to do that at home. And I look into their progress before I go to the class, and I know that three or four topics are the problems that I need to focus on that class.
Yeah.
It was very effective because when I have a predefined curriculum, half of my class already knew it, and half of my class doesn't have any idea. So
yeah.
I can't customize my 1 hour for two sets of kids. So this app actually helped us to automate the process.
Right.
I also learned more about our kids, their learning pattern and their weakness, and I shared them with my parents so that they can help their kids at home as well.
And they could just use the app at home.
App at home, exactly,
yeah.
exactly.
And it's the same app that they're using both in the classroom and at home?
Yes, it's a same app. So it has a different different component to it.
Mm-hmm.
There is a practice area in which they can try different problem sets.
Okay.
When they get into the practice area, we don't know anything about kids. So over the period of trying, mm-hmm. we'll learn that, they are good in probability, they're good in numbers,
mm-hmm.
they're not so good in geometry.
Yeah.
And we feed the questions appropriately. And we also generate some kind of a report and send to parents, so you know where they are with their progress.
Okay.
So parents can also look into their practice area and see, this is the problem that they are they're most likely failing with.
Mm-hmm.
So they can work, they can work on that. And we have a thing called test and homework. where all our weekly tests and weekly homework happens through this app.
Okay.
So we avoid paper trail. I don't need to do a correction. It is all automatically corrected, and they know the their scores instantly, and they can also see the progress relative to their peers. So that will motivate them to do more practice before they come to
the next class. So the app targets the student, and I think you said that it targets the parent as well, right? Because it's delivering some evaluation to the parents.
Yes.
Does it target the teachers as
yes.
well?
Yes. So all three segments, because I play all three roles over the period of last 2 years, so I know exactly what that what is that they knew.
Yeah.
From the teacher's perspective, I want to know what is that I need to focus on when comes Saturday. Then I also want to know how well kids are prepared for their class.
Mm-hmm.
I will know that through their submitted homework and submitted tests. And I'll pick a couple of topics that I need to focus on. And I'll also pick some sample work that basically help them to coach, okay? So second thing, every now and then parents come and ask me how well my kids are doing.
Mm-hmm.
I used to scrap all the papers and see this is how they are doing, this is how they are doing. In this case, I can send them a report saying that they attempted 120 problems. And of the 120 problems, they did 90% of the problems correctly.
Yeah.
And the 10% of the problems all fall into one specific bucket.
So this is the thing they need help
exactly.
with.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Now, is it? I understand that it's adaptive.
Yeah.
Is it dynamic in that it's generating all these questions, so I never need to worry about refresh packs, or new problems, new content.
Right, right. At this point in time, it is pre-fed.
Okay.
We look into the free math sources mm-hmm. available in internet,
mm-hmm.
and we upload them upload them into our backend database.
Yeah.
And we set their toughness level to predefined level, like 3, and over the period of time, it will basically either go up or go down based on number of students answered it correctly, number of students took some, like 5 minutes or 15 minutes or 20 minutes.
I see.
Something like that. We have some kind of a machine learning aspect, behind this thing.
Yeah.
It is not fully implemented, but some aspects are already there.
Okay.
So for example, if a student skip a specific set of problem 3 times, we know that they're not introduced to that problem.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't give those problem again.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, if they're making mistake, we make sure that we'll give a couple more before we can give up. So that kind of adaptiveness is already there. From the student, from the parent perspective, as a parent, I want to know where exactly they are struggling with.
Yeah.
We have a concept of reviewing. So when my kid completes the test or homework, it is immediately corrected, and there is a notification that's sent to a parent, and the parent can go to the app and they can click that what we call it as a stream, and they can see where exactly what are all the problems that they made it wrong, and what kind of issues that they're having with.
Yeah.
And in my experience, I learned a lot. They make mistake. The most of the mistakes are repetitive and similar.
Yeah, yeah.
So
obviously, it's the things that they don't understand yet.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
Okay. So if somebody is watching in the audience and they're either a student
mm-hmm.
or a parent
mm-hmm.
or a teacher,
mm-hmm.
they could go get this app where? They get this in the Windows Store?
In Windows Store. Yes.
Okay. And what's the name of it?
It's MathGrew.
MathGrow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So MathGrove.
Yeah,
okay, MathGrove.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And you said it started as Learning Social, and
yep.
then you've changed the name to MathGrove.
Yep. Yep.
Okay, that's great.
Yeah.
That's great. Let's go ahead and wake your machine up there
yep.
so people can keep looking at this.
Yep.
Okay, now most of the folks that are watching are developers. Mm-hmm. For their benefit, can you tell them some of the technical considerations
right.
that you made in working on this
right.
app? Just the languages, the mm-hmm. platforms. You mm-hmm. know, how did you do this?
Exactly. There are a lot of things that I want to talk. The first one is the tool, the development tool.
Uh-huh.
We picked VS 2013 when it was still on beta.
Uh-huh.
I would say that our prototyping effort became possible because of that.
Because of what tool again?
The Visual Studio 2013.
Visual Studio 2013.
Right. It's very easy to develop a prototype.
Yeah. Yeah.
Very easy to find some sample code. You know, take a boilerplate code. You know, put in the sample code.
Yeah.
And just start running. Our first thing that we did was developing a prototype without connecting to a backend.
Mm-hmm.
We just want to make sure that the entire flow was, you know,
okay.
possible.
Yeah.
So next one is we looked into Visual Studio Online for our source code management.
Yeah.
So we are three of my colleagues were working on this product.
Okay. So there's a total of four of you?
Total of four of us.
Okay.
And we have a 5-user license.
Great.
Free.
That's great.
Thanks to Microsoft. And we develop on our own face. We are all working in a different product.
Yeah.
And we work on a different days.
Yeah.
So we used to work at our home or a conference room in whatever time.
Yeah.
So Visual Studio Online, the source.
Out of curiosity,
code,
then, mm-hmm. are you using TFVS or Git for your source control?
TFVS.
We
are using TFVS.
Great.
The next one is the backend.
Mm-hmm.
We are using SQL Azure database.
Oh, great. Okay. Yeah.
We got a free $150 free credit
mm-hmm.
from Microsoft, and we are using that effectively.
Yeah.
And we need to write a very little code.
And by the way, that benefit comes through an MSDN subscription, that we get as Microsoft employees. But
yep.
you also get if you are a startup. So if you're
yep.
if you're making apps
yep.
on your own, you're a startup, and you can ask me if you want any more information about that. We call that BizSpark. BizSpark.com. That's a good benefit.
Yep. I'll
just mention it.
Yep. And we also use Windows Azure Mobile Services for our client to interact with the backend database.
Great.
It basically masked all the need for custom code in our client.
Okay.
Client doesn't aware that, you know, where we are hosted. It doesn't matter. Tomorrow, if we want to change, it's just a single configuration change that we can able to make it in the Azure Mobile Services.
Yeah.
And we used SQL Server data tools
mm-hmm.
to develop schema and you know, mock data and
yeah.
so on. And and we used Azure app called SendGrid.
Oh,
for send notification,
yeah.
Notification to parents.
And that's built right into Azure, right?
Exactly,
yeah.
built right into the thing, and it has a 25K mails per.
Does that cover you?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Yeah. So, and most important aspect of it is testing. So the most of the development was completed under 8 weeks, but it took 4 to 6 weeks. Actually, to test it and you know, actually go through the user experience.
Yeah.
Obviously, you helped us, you know, as a user perspective.
Uh-huh.
And one of the most interesting component is kids themselves.
Yeah, yeah.
We
because they're honest, right?
They're honest. Exactly. they're honest. So we gave a USB stick with mm-hmm. our app installed, so that they can install in their Surface.
Mm-hmm.
They went through multiple iteration of tests and homework and practice areas, and they gave a lot of feedback, including the picture, you know, the flow, how many clicks, and how fun they are,
yeah.
and so on. So that's the thing. It's kind of a one full end-to-end you know, cycle,
yeah.
and obviously Microsoft technology helped us to, you know, make it as quick as possible.
Yeah. And now you're in the store now, so all the initial development has been done, the testing's been done, mm-hmm. it's been put in the store, but I imagine you still have to consider it, right?
Yes.
Are you guys working on iterations?
We keep working on it. Okay. Like I said, like, you know, there are some machine learning aspects that we are working on, which actually increase our adaptiveness.
Mm-hmm.
And we are also going to introduce more tools for coaches like me, who wants to customize their kids' experience. One more thing that I want to talk about is the speed in which we can able to update to the store.
Yeah.
So the moment we released it last week, within 1 week we got a couple of feedback, and we can able to send 3 updates.
Yeah.
In a span of 7
days. Based on that feedback.
Based on the feedback.
That's excellent.
It was quick.
Yeah.
It was quick.
Well, and the best thing is the users don't even have to opt into installing that update by default. They just get it, right?
Yep. That's great for us
as developers.
Exactly.
We know that the latest bits are mm-hmm. going to be on the developer's device. Yep. That's really nice.
Yep.
Cool.
Yep.
Well, this is wonderful for developers to kind of, yep. you know, get to glean from your guys' experience having yep. all the way, you know, gone all the way through yep. the cycle already.
Yep.
Are there any other words of advice that you have for developers?
So, most of the time we spend is in design,
okay,
and very less time in the coding, and another big segment time in testing. So you have to, you know, you have to plan your time accordingly.
Okay.
Plan to spend more time in the designing and planning.
Okay.
And plan to spend more time in getting feedback and actually updating your app.
And when you say design, are you talking about a certain kind of design, architectural design or user interface design, or kind of all of the design?
So the two aspects that we looked into is user aspect. Mm-hmm. This is primarily because kids are the one who is going to use it.
Right.
We need to think from their perspective.
Yeah.
What is the best thing for them?
Yeah.
Rather, what is the best thing for us?
Right.
For example, it shouldn't be chatty.
Yeah,
it should be intuitive for kids to
yeah.
basically pick that. So that is one aspect. Second aspect is the data. We started with a small amount of question pack, but over the period of time, it grows. It grows enormously. So you have to plan, even though you have, say for example, 20,000 questions to start with, you need to plan as if like you are going to have 10 million questions over the period of
wow.
time.
Yeah.
And 10,000 users simultaneously going to access the question pack.
Mm-hmm.
So most of the design decisions were based on that. And our client is completely abstracted from our back end. That was possible through Windows Azure mobile services.
Yeah.
And frankly, we also would like to port this app to other platform as well.
Mm-hmm.
When you do that, you have to make sure that the back end.
You have an architecture
exactly.
that's going to, and Azure it, Mobile Services yep. is ready, right?
Yep. It's ready.
It's great.
Yep, yep.
That's awesome. Can you show us, in the app, can you show us a scenario from a kid's perspective?
Yeah, yeah.
All right, let's
definitely.
Take a look.
Yeah. So, once you sign in, this is what the screen that you will be getting it. I'm getting that screen because I'm an admin.
Okay.
But kids won't be getting that.
Yeah.
So kids will be getting these 3 screens. The first screen is about a practice area.
Okay.
I have 15 minutes of time. I want to do something. So you go, you click, and you will be given a question that we based on our learning about you,
mm-hmm.
and if you give the answer, if you give the right answer, you will be getting a different question. If you give the wrong answer, you will be getting a much lesser toughness levels of a question.
Yeah,
and we collect all these questions from. Various sources.
And it tells you right there yeah. where you got it.
Exactly. And it also tracks how much time it takes for you to solve.
And we're not doing so well on this one.
Yeah. So the idea about that time is when you try to find how tough the question is, one thing is how much time it takes for specific kids to take.
Yeah, sure.
For example, it takes for me 2 minutes. On the other hand, some other kid, it takes 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So, and if average is 6 minutes, so you are doing better than average, and
okay.
that person is. So this kind of insight will motivate kids to do more, to
yeah.
work hard,
sure.
right? And also for the teacher, it'll give a kind of insight on, oh, okay, so my students are struggling with this part. So, I need to focus on that.
Yeah.
For example, when we were beta testing it, we found that they were not familiar with probability questions.
Okay.
So then we spent entire two sessions on probability, introduction to probability,
mm-hmm.
and we can see that after that, they started getting more right answers in those area. So that's the thing. You will be given a question, and you will be given you should answer it.
Yeah.
And it's off BH. It's 15. No, seems like I'm wrong.
I don't know the answer either.
Yeah.
Now, what does the answer format N look mean? Does N as in a number?
Yeah, it gives you kind of a hint mm-hmm. on the answer.
Okay.
So one of the key decisions that we made is we don't want to give a multiple choice.
Mm-hmm.
The reason we don't want to give a multiple choice is it will basically influence students to basically pick one of the four.
Mm-hmm.
Rather, we really want them to give the answer.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, we our validation logic. Is not that expansive that even if you write 15 or number 15 or 15.0,
yeah.
We can't able to differentiate.
Yeah, yeah.
So we basically give them kind of
I see.
Thing.
Should we try 75? That might be the answer there. Nope, that wasn't any other.
Yeah.
It's
off BH.
Yeah, I need to go back to elementary, I think.
Yeah, exactly. One more thing I want
sure.
to explain to you. Since I practiced a lot of a lot of questions before,
uh-huh.
it will give you kind of insight into how you are progressing.
Oh, wow.
So you can see that overall, I'm not that bad,
87 yeah, sure.
percentage. On the other hand, in probability, I'm a little bit weaker,
yeah.
75. And as if as a parent, if you want to go, you can go directly to the question the questions where you answered wrong, and you can ask if a parent wants to do it on their own and teach their kid, that's fine, or if they want to help, they can see show answer.
I see.
Right, and they can help their kids.
Good. So you've got some feedback and evaluation.
Yep.
You know how you're doing. Your parents know how you're
yep.
doing. The teacher knows how you're
exactly.
doing. Great.
It's a full cycle.
Yeah. Wonderful.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for showing this
yeah.
for us today. And
yeah.
once again, you want to give anybody any direction? It's pretty easy, I think, but on
yeah.
how to get this app, where they can get
yeah.
it?
Yeah. All that they need to go to is go to Windows Store,
okay.
look for Math Grove.
Math Grove, yeah.
MathGrove.
Okay.
And you'll get this app, install it. And we actually added a customized feedback form.
Oh, great.
We want to get more feedback about
yeah.
both the app and the question itself.
That's wonderful.
So that we can proactively update all those things.
Wonderful. All right. Well, thanks for joining us today for Code Chat. Definitely go download Math Grove from the Windows Store and give Arasu and his team an honest 5-star rating.
Exactly.
And enjoy that. So thanks for joining us for Code Chat. We'll see you next time.
Thank you.